This evening we're looking at a further name for the Lord Jesus, found in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. We read that passage this morning. We're going to look at the name Counselor. And you will have noticed maybe in the last verse that it speaks of so wise a counselor. And really following on from the carol service this afternoon, I wanted to look at how in the Lord's coming, that first Christmas, Jesus fulfills this precious name of Counselor. And every name that is assigned to the Lord Jesus is glorious, but also each one has a specific blessing to his people in every experience in their lives. You know, as believers, if that is our state this night, we never find ourselves in a situation in our daily experience where the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, cannot point us to a name that the Savior wears which speaks to our specific situation. We see again and again that all fullness dwells in the Lord Jesus, and that in his person, his work, his offices, he is able to do for us all that we ever need in this life and in the one to come. And so Christ the Counselor, you know, who of us has not at some point in our lives needed guidance and wisdom and counsel beyond the human, as it were? Our lives are full of difficult and confusing circumstances. Sometimes there are grey areas, uncertainties, and often we can feel as though we just don't know which way is best. And we can feel powerless. And that's certainly been true in recent events. And sometimes those difficult situations come to us and they're outside of our control. Sometimes the difficult situations that arise in our lives are the result of sin. Sinful actions of others or our own sinful actions. We know that before the fall, Adam had a perfect relationship with God. All was good and very good and perfect and purposeful and clear. But sin ruins and life became broken and stormy and dangerous. As one says, it is a winding, stormy way to heaven. God leads his people about in the wilderness and the place is often rough and the path crooked, the valley dangerous and the hill difficult, and it demands the skillful guidance and upholding of one with whom there is no perplexity and with whom nothing is impossible. And so the believer's path is one of difficulty and perplexity because, as our Lord warned, narrow is the gate, narrow is the way which leads to life, and few find it. And even though the way is that royal way and there is liberty in Christ and provision, we know that there is still that battle with indwelling sin which can make it hard at times. But it's not easy to walk close to the Lord. Of course, it's wonderful and it's blessed and incomparable, but it's hard at times as well. And if we had no sin, it would be glory, it'd be wonderful, and of course it will be in heaven. But when we do good, when we seek to do that which honors the Lord, we know that evil stalks us and sin stalks and it undermines and desires to cause us to stumble. And so walking with the Lord closely and humbly and wholly is unlike anything else, but it's not easy. And our path to glory is often not smooth. And the believer's path also of staying close to the truth is not easy either. Sometimes that can be difficult. Not easy to walk in the truth and be faithful to the truth and keeping that straight and narrow and central path, to not deviate to the right or to the left and avoid error. So great things to hold to the great truths of God's word and the doctrines of grace in their right position and to exalt free grace on the one hand and yet to avoid its abuse on the other. To maintain our liberty in Christ and yet to be serious about obedience and submission to the word of God. And there are many things that come to challenge our understanding of the scriptures. You know, you have so many different theological interpretations and new perspectives and new experiences and conflicting opinions and popular books and dubious teaching and sincere believers who have different views on things. And what do we believe? What are the key doctrines? How do we know where to stand? Well, how much we need the divine counselor. And then the believer's path of providence can be faced with difficulties and full of perplexities which at times can just seem overwhelming. And as I said, our way to heaven across this worldly wilderness can throw at us many hardships. Sometimes it can be overwhelming. Whether it's illness or discomfort, maybe it's financial worries or suffering or loneliness or isolation, the way can be hard. But Christ is with his people. In the midst of all of those things, his eyes are ever upon his own. And even in those difficult times, we can know peace and comfort and even rejoicing in Christ, even when the circumstances seem dark. You know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6 and verses 9 to 10, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. How can he say that? Because Christ is the key. And he who has Christ, and Christ with him, and the hope of being forever with Christ in glory, isn't left alone in the midst of this wilderness. And how thankful we are that, you know, we are being drawn closer to the Lord and the divine counselor of his church. And we're caused to run to Christ in all of the mysteries and confusions that we face. That God is teaching us to love and honor his Son, and we are brought to sit at the feet of the Savior, who is a wonderful counselor, excellent in all his work and ways. And we should not be in any doubt that the answer to our greatest problem is found in Jesus Christ. You know, we mustn't ever come away from that. We mustn't ever doubt the sufficiency of Christ, even in this day and age. You know, he is the answer. And of all the perplexities and difficulties that a person can face, the most difficult of all is, what must I do to be saved? Seems a very simple question, but there's a whole world of confusion and darkness apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to be awakened from the darkness and to be brought to the conviction that the gospel alone can answer that question is a wonderful thing. But you know, even then, sometimes you can speak to people and they are taken aback by the wonder of it all. How can Jesus be the Son of God in human flesh? How could he be without sin? How could Christ offer himself as a sacrifice for sinners on the cross? How could he stand in the place? How can judgment and mercy and love and holiness and grace, how can all those things come together in the cross of Jesus? These things are incredible. And yet the Bible sets before us the person and work of Jesus Christ so clearly. Or sometimes there are those who, you know, they see the wonder of the gospel and they even accept the facts of the gospel to some extent, but their struggle comes when it's applied to them. And they can see that Jesus could be a savior and faith in him is the way by which they're saved, but they have an insurmountable difficulty, it seems to them. How could he save me? How could he deal with me? You might acknowledge that Jesus is there, but you struggle with the question, is he my Savior? Can he really save me? Will he save me? Well, again, you need the divine counselor, Jesus Christ. And he can answer and deal with all your concern and confusion. And so I want to spend some time looking at this name of Jesus, the Counselor. And he is the perfect divine counselor, firstly. The Lord Jesus is able to be our perfect counselor because he is fully God and fully man. As God, he possesses all the essential qualifications to be our counselor. You know, he couldn't be the true counselor of his church if he were not God. The counsel that his people need and demand must possess no weakness, no uncertainty, no blindness, and no error. We need that certainty and that truth. As one explains, it must be capable of seeing the end from the beginning. It must embrace as its clients an infinite number of people living in all ages, dwelling in all lands, in every place, and at the same instant of time. For our counselor, we need one who is omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, you know, always there, all-knowing, all-powerful. We need that. And Jesus is the perfect counselor because he has all the divine and necessary attributes. In him dwells all the fullness. And so why is it, friends, that we so often hesitate to bring our concerns to such a wonderful Savior? Why are we so slow to call upon his name? You know, maybe what we're facing in our lives, it's beyond a solution to us. It's too profound for human wisdom. But Christ has the ability and the power to guide us through. And so we can bring our burdens to him, knowing that nothing we can bring to him will be too great for him or too small for him. You know, we can bring those things to him. He loves to hear his people. And more than that, he's able to come alongside us just where we are. You know, it's such a practical truth. Every day we can go to him. You know, there is no circumstance, there is no event, there is no instant, great or small, in your daily walk that you face without the divine nature and resources of the Lord Jesus at hand. He is with you. And how often do the simple questions in our lives leave us wondering and unhelped by what people say to us? The Lord was right when he said, without me you can do nothing. We need to be quick to go to him, our perfect divine counselor. But he's also the perfect human counselor. You know, you think of the wonderful prophecy concerning his coming that first Christmas in Isaiah 11. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And so the Messiah who would come would be filled with the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might. He is the perfect counselor of his people. The wisdom of Jesus as man was perfect. As we've said, in him dwell all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You know, you see it in the Gospels. You see how his enemies tried to test him. They tried to trip him up and ensnare him. And they came to him, didn't they, with all manner of devious plots and traps to draw him out. And even Satan himself sought to tempt him and cause him to stumble. But all of those efforts fell flat. All was in vain. They couldn't resist his wisdom, his power and his holiness. He confounded them and overcame them. Such is our wonderful counselor. And so can we ever doubt his perfect power and his wisdom to handle all our cares, to deal with our doubts, to offer light in our darkness, to disentangle all the perplexities brought to him by his people in all places and all times? It's incredible to think, you know, that each one of us in Christ, we can call upon him and know that he hears us. Well, you say, well, how does the Lord fulfill his role of counselor? What does it mean? I want you to see the greatness and then we'll bring it closer to ourselves. Christ is counselor. He fulfills that role in relation to the Godhead and eternity past. So what does that mean? Well, as the second person in the Trinity, acting together with the Father and the Spirit in creation, but also in the work of redemption, we see in creation our Lord is vitally concerned and involved and consulting in the purposes and decrees and thoughts of the Godhead. There's a unity there. Think of Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. You know, you see again the Trinity when dealing with the builders of Babel in their rebellious ambition. Genesis 11:7, come, let us go down. And there confused their language. But it's in redemption that this office of Christ as his people's counselor gloriously appears. Let me give you a text, Zechariah 6:13. We found the counsel of peace shall be between them both. And so in this divine and eternal counsel, the plan of redemption is brought together. The Redeemer is appointed, the redeemed chosen, and the Son of God, the assumption of flesh by the Son of God, his sufferings and death, burial and resurrection are all planned. and settled by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. He said, oh, well, you know, you're getting into deep theology there. That's got no bearing on me. You'd be wrong if you thought that. You see, when you begin to consider those things, you see that we have a glorious view of the everlasting love, the overflowing grace of the triune God towards his people. What a blessing for us to consider the eternal source from which all blessing flows to the believing soul. And when we see the eternal foundation of our salvation, the centrality of our Savior in that, our counselor to it, we should never doubt the unchanging nature of God's love to us in Jesus Christ. Believer, he has set his love upon you from before even the foundation of the world. And I mentioned a hymn this morning, mentioned part of it. Well, the rest of it goes like this. The clouds may come and go, and storms may sweep my sky. This blood-sealed friendship changes not. The cross is ever nigh. My love is oft-times low. My joy still ebbs and flows. But peace with him remains the same. No change, Jehovah knows. I change, he changes not. The Christ can never die. His love, not mine, the resting place. His truth, not mine, the tie. You know, God is unchanging. His plan was set. We, you know, in our Christian experience, we have ups and downs, and sometimes they're very troubling to us. But however much the downs may seem able to separate us from the Savior and pull us away from him, his steadfast love for us, his care for us. You know, those things cannot separate us from the love of God which is there for us in Christ. And so even though we may be going through down times, doesn't mean we should stay away from the Lord Jesus in prayer or praise. Even when we feel low or cold, we need to draw near. As one explains, God did not set his heart upon you because he foresaw anything of worthiness in you. And so it is that he will not withdraw his heart from you because of any unworthiness he may now observe in you. And so Christ there in the council of eternity, in creation, in providence, in grace, he is God the Son, one with the Father and the Spirit, three in one, one in three. Of course, another powerful proof of the deity of Jesus. The scriptures identify him there. And so it's true that Jesus can say in Isaiah 46, I am God, there is no other. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Christ is counselor in terms of eternity. Christ is counselor also on behalf of his people. You know, think of that wonderful verse, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. How thankful we should be that such a one appears on our behalf. You know, sin and Satan and the world and our own corrupt and deceitful hearts, they are always raising their accusations against us. But our great counselor ever stands to appear in the presence of God for us. And he confronts and meets every charge, silences every accusation. Why? Because of himself. He presents his blood and his merits and his resurrection and demands on the ground of who he is, what he has done. And Satan can come with whatever he may. And yet, the accuser of the brethren is always foiled by the Savior. And the accusation falls and the accused are acquitted. We find great comfort when we realize there stands for us our perfect Savior, the Lord Jesus, who intercedes for us, Christ within the veil. He is our advocate, and we can commit ourselves wholly to him and know that he'll undertake for us. Now, let me ask you tonight, is there sin that grieves you? Does your conscience condemn you? Does Satan accuse you? Does man oppress you? Then you run to your heavenly advocate the precious one who ever lives to make intercession for us. But also Christ is counselor not only on behalf of his people, but to his people. He gives us counsel all through our lives, and in the course of our lives as believers, there are doubts and troubles and things that we can't understand and sort out ourselves. You know, you probably know, and sometimes in a day, you know, you wake up and you expect the day to go one way, and then something totally unexpected happens and we're plunged into some difficulty and we don't know what to do, and there's no one around who can really help us. And it's then we realize what a comfort it is to have the guidance of one who sees the end from the beginning, who isn't surprised by the unforeseen to us, who can be baffled by nothing present. Think of Psalm 16:7. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. You know, maybe you're here tonight and you're facing an area of your life and you feel confused about it. You know, maybe something's happened or some difficulty has presented itself and you just don't know what to do. And it seems that the issue is unsolvable. You come to the end of yourself in the matter. Well, do you remember the command of Moses to the judges whom he appointed to adjust the difficulties of the Israelites? What did he say? Deuteronomy 1:17, the case that is too hard for you, bring it to me and I will hear it. I will handle it. Well, friend, we have one greater than Moses, who is our judge and counselor. And you listen to his words in Psalm 32. I will instruct you. I will teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Or his command to the distressed and baffled parent whose child the disciples were powerless to relieve in Mark 9. They didn't know what to do. What did Jesus say? Bring him to me. Bring him to me. You know, we can trust him, believer. He is our divine, perfect, unerring counselor. And the cause which has proved too hard for the wisdom and experience and skill of man and the perplexity that has baffled all our thinking and ingenuity, we are to bring it to Christ. You know, why should we sink down beneath our difficulty, discouraged and despairing? Has our counselor perished? Is the Lord Jesus no longer able to help? Well, surely not, because Jesus ever lives as our advocate. And so don't despair. He's there for you. As one Puritan says, your perplexity is nothing with Christ. What is all dark to you is all light to him. He can bring you out of all your difficulties. He can open a way for your escape. From your troubles, make the crooked path straight, the rough place smooth. Commit your way to him, trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. You know, we must run to him. We must run to him at the very first for salvation. And we must run to him in all of those things. We are so thankful and should be so thankful that this Jesus came for sinners, came to save people like you and me, and humbled himself and took to himself humanity, lived in this world of tears, did that saving work, that he's walked where we have walked, that he sorrowed in Gethsemane even unto death, that he suffered unknown agonies on the cross. He poured out his last drop of blood, breathed his last breath to save sinners like you and me from going down to the pit. And this vast, immeasurable love and grace and mercy has been poured out upon us. And he's able to break every barrier down. As one says, by one drop of his blood, the mountain of sin will dissolve. By one touch of his hand, the huge difficulty shall vanish. By one word of his mouth, the doubts and fears which assail your anxious soul will go. And you shall say, I have found it. I found salvation and pardon and peace, and it's all in Christ. My soul expands with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And Jesus says, are you struggling with doubts? Struggling with fears? Struggling with difficulties? He says, I'm here for you, believer. And I will strengthen you and I will guide you. And I will bring you on. You know, think of those words of beautiful counsel that Christ gives, "Come unto me, all that you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so we act on his gracious counsels and his invitation. We approach him, and even though we may have heavy hearts and anxious minds and trembling faith, you can be sure that he will never turn you away. And it's true in every season of life. And what a precious counselor is the Lord Jesus in seasons of deep trial. You know, there are times in our Christian lives when we can feel so burdened, you know, that we're almost trapped, frozen, and the trouble seems there and overwhelming, and we're totally incapacitated to think and to act. And as we said so often, unto the hills around do we lift up our longing eyes. And through the tears, and though our heart is crushed, we look to Jesus. We rest on his promises, our faithful counselor and guide, and we place ourselves in his hand, and we know that he will uphold us and undertake for us. And he sees our afflictions and stands with us in them. He knows our sorrows, and we know, as that lovely hymn says, that he is touched by them. He is acquainted with the difficulties that have surrounded us, and he stands prepared to gently and skillfully and safely lead us on through. There are so many different ways in which these difficulties come, but we are not alone. For our wonderful counselor and our friend is right at our side. And he calls us to unveil our sorrows and commit our ways to him, to make known our needs to him, and he will hide us under the shadow of his wings, and he will uphold us. And it's true when trials come, it's true when opposition comes, when enemies surround us, when there are those who seek to do us harm. Well, he knows, he sees, and he can thwart their plans and purposes and give us strength to come through. And we know that ultimately he will bring all his enemies to be his footstool. And it's easy to be overwhelmed by the many enemies that encircle believers, particularly in this day and age. We know that there are many battles. Those who by malice and rage will seek to injure the Savior and injure his cause and injure his people. But we must trust that Jesus will overcome, and their designs will ultimately be thwarted, because Christ is our counselor, and the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. And you know, if you're here tonight and you're one of those who oppose the Lord, if you've not bowed the knee to this precious Savior, the King of Kings, and you're walking after the devices of your own heart, you need to be very careful, lest God give you up to your own counsel, and you perish in your foolishness. Isaiah 29, woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel far from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who sees us? Who knows us? But he does see, and he does know, and he will call every man to account. And the outcome will be condemnation. And only Jesus can say. But he won't save you in your sins, but from your sins, the power and guilt and condemnation. And only him, and only in him, can we be released and delivered. And so, our wonderful counselor with the believer. And so, this Christmas, remember, the babe born in the manger was the one called counselor. And if you're a believer tonight, whatever you're facing, give it over to the supreme government and guidance of the one who understands, who really does understand. We should never doubt that. He really does understand. And we can commit ourselves to him. And we should acknowledge him in all our ways, seek his light on the situation, seek his strength and his grace to go on and to submit and to obey his will in all things. And let your heart and Christ's heart, your will and God's will be one. And whatever mystery, as one says, and darkness may shroud from your view the path by which your heavenly Father is leading you, still trust and still have that hope. Like the psalmist who says, nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You shall guide me with your counsel and afterwards receive me to glory. You know, we can go to him right now, place ourselves in his hands, and know that he really will undertake for us in whatever we face. And if we lack wisdom, what should we do? We should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. And know this, he who has saved you will keep you and guide you and uphold you, and not one of your steps shall slide. And having guided you with his counsel, he will bring you home to glory. Our counselor, he is wonderful, and we should dwell upon him, bring to him all things, and our testimony will be, all the way my Saviour leads me, what have I to ask beside? Amen.